الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى الحمد لله منشئ الخلق من عدم ثم الصلاة على المختار في القدم مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك على رسولك خير الخلق كلهم وعلى آله وأصحابه المصطفى أولي التقى والهدى والحلم والكرم يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على نذير على بشير النذير محمدا مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على طه سيد المرسلين بلغ سلامي روضة فيها النبي المحترم يا خير من دفنت بالقاء أعظمه فطاب من طيبهن القاع والأكم روح الفدا لقبر أنت ساكنه فيه العفاف وفيه الجود والكرم هو الحبيب الذي ترجى شفاعته لكل هول من الأحوال مقتحم أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الناس اعبدوا ربكم الذي خلقكم والذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون وقال تعالى وما خلقت الجن والإنس إلا ليعبدون وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال الله تعالى يا ابن آدم تفرغ لعبادتي أملأ صدرك غنى وسد فقرك وألا تفعل أملأ صدرك شغلك ولم أسد فقرك أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. At the beginning of the Quran Sharif from Alif Lam Mim, Allah Tabaruk Ta'ala has explained in five ayats the qualities of the true believers. الذين يؤمنون بالغيب ويقيمون الصلاة the true genuine believers and they are open and apparent anyone can see them who are those true believers the next two ayats short ayats Allah Ta'ala explained the condition of the kuffar the open kafirs who don't believe they are also clear everyone can see these are non-believers they don't believe atheists or the other whoever the other non-believers are two groups So, and then 13 ayats, one whole ruku, Allah is devoted to the condition of the munafiqeen, the hypocrites, who outwardly show that they are believers, and inside they are not believers. وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَقُولُ آمَنَّا بِاللَّهِ وَبِالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَمَا هُمْ بِمُؤْمِنِينَ Allah says, from amongst the people there are those who say we believe in Allah, and the last day, but they are not believers. يُخَادِعُونَ اللَّهَ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا They try and deceive Allah and the believers. وَمَا يَخْدَعُونَ إِلَّا أَنفُسَهُمْ But they're only deceiving themselves. And the height of their stupidity and folly and evil, وَهُمْ لَا يَشْكُرُونَ They don't even know that they thinking they're genuine, but they are fooling themselves. So this is the 13 ayats of the munafiqeen. Allah Ta'ala has explained. So why has Allah explained it in the Quran Sharif? The Quran Sharif is for the believers, so that we can be on our guard. We safeguard ourselves from the munafiqeen. So that in 13 ayats Allah has exposed them, so that we don't fall prey, and we follow them, we befriend them, we take them as our brothers. Allah has exposed them thoroughly, and not yet, one whole surah, Al-Munafiqun, Allah has revealed. And many, many other ayats of the Quran Sharif, Allah has explained the condition of the Munafiqeen. So one reason that we don't fall prey to all their treachery and all the evil, they'll come in such a way that you won't be able to catch up. Very sly, very shrewd, but Allah has exposed them completely. And the other reason that we don't become munafiqin, that especially in whose company you stay, you become like that. So if we are not careful and we don't stay away from the munafiqin, we also will become like that. And that's open. It's an open fact. You see it all the time. You also become like that. So this, the worst, the actual nifaq, hypocrisy, is that a person hasn't got iman in his heart and he says, I'm a believer. Like many of the orientalists, they don't say they're believers, but many people who come, they pose as Muslims, but they are not Muslims. That is the actual nifaq. But then there are various degrees of this hypocrisy also. The hadith has defined a hypocrite that when he meets one group of people, he meets them with their face. He talks with them, he agrees with them, laughs, everything socializes. The opposite group who are opposite to them, when he meets with them, he's like them also. So he's a two-faced person. And on the internet, if you check, you see a two-faced person, a person with two faces. How ugly he looks, how dangerous he looks, how horrible he looks. A person with two faces. We are used to seeing a person with one face. But Allah save us, we don't know who amongst us. In actual fact, we also are sitting with two faces. And how many of us, we meet this group, we like them. We talk with them, we agree with them, everything. When we with this group, we agree with them also. That is in the hadith, that is the definition of a munafiq. And basically, a person who is two-sided, two-faced. And this person here, he wants to please these people also, and please these people also. But what's the end result? He gets a slap on this side of the face, and he gets a slap on this side of the face. He's nowhere. So the munafiqeen, and the Quran has explained the worst punishment for the munafiqeen also. So 13 ayats anyway, Allah has exposed them for our, Allah's love for us, that we don't fall prey, that we are on our guard. Allah make it, how many times, all of us, how many times we must have made khatam of Quran Sharif. And we read all this, but it doesn't dawn upon us. Very sad, we read the Quran, we pay no attention to the Quran Sharif. And Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam will complain to Allah Ta'ala with regard to the relationship of the ummah with the Quran. وَقَالَ الرَّسُولُ يَا رَبِّ إِنَّ قَوْمِ اتَّخَذُوا هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ مَهْجُورًا. They ignored the Quran Sharif. Many of us don't read the Quran. Many of us read it, but just carelessly. Many of us read it, and we just to complete it, which is also very good. There is sawab in it. But the Quran is a kitab. أَفَلَا تَتَفَكَّرُونَ أَفَلَا why don't you ponder? Why don't you make fikr? The Quran Sharif, especially for ulama, if they read without pondering, it's very sad case. What and what treasures there are in the Quran Sharif. And how beautifully Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah is explained, like a person swimming 100 meter, a race or anything, 100 meter. There are those who just swim the top. That's all. They finish, they complete. But there are others who went down deep. And what were treasures they were, they took out those treasures. We find that many people, ulama mainly, other people also, women like to study, read kitabs more than men, women read. But many, just the surface. After that, what you read, they don't remember also. Or even bayan. We just heard the bayan and finished. But in the bayans also, there are so many things which has got a lot of depth in it. We don't think about those things. We are just on the surface. And those who go into the depths, they will come out with treasures and pearls and diamonds and rubies. Valuable, valuable things they will come out. So Allah Tabaruk wa Ta'ala, let us read the Quran Sharif like that so that we can take our lessons. Then after this 20 ayats, 5 for the mu'mineen, mukhlisin, 2 for the kafirin, two complete opposite groups, and you can make them out. 13 for the munafiqeen. Then Allah addresses the whole of mankind. Ya ayyuhan nas, whether you are the true believers, whether you are the open kafirs, or whether you are munafiq. And this again is the great love of Allah, that whatever you fell into, whatever you went through, but come right now. And how Allah doesn't leave us. Allah wants us to come right. Allah wants to shower us with His mercy. So Allah says, all of you, you can be the true believers for you also. There is no end to the height of Iman in Yaqeen also. There is no limit to Ibadat also. And Akhlaq also. Everything for you also. For the believers, come right. Where are you following on your disbelief? For the munafiqeen, what you deceiving? Forget anyone else. What you deceiving yourself? Come right. And what must you, all of you, do? U'budu Rabbakum. Ya Yuhannasu, u'budu Rabbakum. And this is also the great magnificence of the Quran Sharif. Bismillah. That there is a command, u'budu Rabbakum. Worship your Rabb. And this is dawah, a command, with the dalil, with the reason. Like, for example, if I have to tell somebody, go there to the wuzu khana, or go to the car. Now, he look at my face. What must I go and do there? What reason? Why are you sending? Go and bring that parcel there. There is something there. Go and bring that. Go and put this in the car. There must be some reason. But Allah, in His command, He gave the reason also, not separately. U'budu Rabbakum. Worship your Rabb. And worship. Who must you worship? Your Rabb. And in that Allah has given the reason why must you worship your Rabb. Not separately. In that, this is the kalam of Allah. Where can we find kalam like that? And whoever will devote himself to the Quran that is knowledge, you will be knowledgeable. The Quran that is intelligent will make you intelligent. The Quran that is full of what, you will have what in you. If we devote ourselves to the Quran, on that still token, today the day of Jummah has passed, and we are here, and we would like to think of ourselves that we are concerned of our Islah. Oh, many of us have got Khilafat also, many of us are Alims, many of us are Hafiz, but we, that part, so to say, the cream of the crop, who of us made our Tilawat today? Who read our Quran Sharif? One time, Maulana Masihullah Sahib Rahmatullah Ali asked one murid student of his, Nashta Karliya, have you made your breakfast? So he's thinking in his line, I had my eggs, I had my cereal. So Hazrat said, I'm not meaning what you're thinking. I'm meaning, did you read your Fajr and did you do it properly? With concentration, devotion, Takbir-e-Ula. You read your Yasin Sharif today. You read your Quran Sharif today. So each one of us asked that us today, did we read our Quran? Like we have to complete one Quran. That is tilawat. How many of us read our Quran today? Did we read our Yasin today? Did we read our Ayatul Kursi today? And these are all those things which really you can't do without. You can do without your breakfast, definitely you can do. But without the spiritual breakfast, you can't do. How many of us? And yet we're thinking that we are all right. I'm a sheikh. I'm a alim. I'm teaching, I'm telling other people, but what is our own condition? A person who is empty himself, what is he going to benefit anyone else? And the sad part is we don't think of correcting ourselves also. So yeah, anyway, in this ayah, u'budu rabbakum, worship your Rabb. So make ibadat of your Rabb. In the word Rabb is da'wa ma'a dalil, because Allah is the who is your Rabb. Who created you. You are not in your existence on your own. Allah is the one, not only your creation, but go into the details. Nobody can ever go into the details. But a little bit, think who gave me my eyes? Who gave me my brains? Who gave me my heart? Who gave me my nervous system? Who gave me my digestive system? Who gave me my nervous system? And all of ours, generally as we are sitting, all these things are functioning properly. Am I maintaining it? Have I got a contract with a neurologist and with a cardiologist and with an orthodontist and with an optometrist to keep all my things in order? Am I going daily, weekly, monthly for some treatment, who is looking after it? And all this, each system is a fantastic system of its own. The eyes are on its own. The brains on their own. The heart on its own. The lungs on their own. Each thing and everything for everyone. A person who we say is a dud. A person who we say is a stupid. A person who we will say is poor. A person who says he's got no status in society. For everyone, Rabbul Alameen is doing. For all of them. Allah is doing it for the cat also. Allah is doing it for the dog also. Allah is doing it for the small ant also. Allah is doing it for the big elephant also. So great is our Allah. So how can we not worship Him? And if you go for a job, give you a job description, this is what you have to do. And we'll pay you so much. For what are you going to be paid? For doing that job. Allah is going to pay us for doing our job. Our job is to worship Him. But we are not worshipping. But still He's paying us. He's still keeping our eyes in order. He's still keeping our ears in order. Everything He's keeping in order. That common example we give. Yes, you tell somebody, the housewife tells the maid that wash the baby, bath the baby, he has a shampoo, new clothes, everything. And she brings her baby. And everything you gave, she uses it to wash her baby. And after that, all the new clothes also, brand new clothes she puts on. After that, she says, madam, I'm finished. Pay me now. You told me you'll give me 200 rand for this. Madam, what will she won't know, must she stand on her feet or on her head? Must she kick her with her legs or what? What must she do with her? My things, everything, she has to wash my baby. She does everything of, and we are worse than that. Everything Allah has given us. And what He said, what is your job description? Worship Me. And we do nothing of Allah's worship. Some of us, we think we are doing very superficial. But the actual what is called worship, we are far, far, far from that. And we want wages from, we want the best. When we ask Allah, we ask the very best and we must keep on asking, no problem. But try to do also the best. And how many of us, no deen in our lives at all. And we who got deen is really a superficial deen. Just an outward deen, just a veneer of deen. Previously, wood used to be solid wood. But when it became too expensive now to maintain and do everything with that, they started making wood with sawdust. All the sawdust. And then they treat that and they just put a veneer on it. Now almost all our furniture is with that. Unless those people who really want that really expensive wood, that genuine original wood, which is very expensive now. Otherwise it is all sawdust. Everything used to be made with steel before. Anything. Steel became too expensive iron. Now it's all plastic. And now everything works with plastic. So our deen also is more just a veneer of deen. And we haven't got this actual deen. It's just a plastic deen we got. And it breaks also. Therefore, it breaks. How many of us? I got no istiqamah. I try. I make 1-2 days tahajjud. Then my tahajjud is gone. I make 1-2 days namaz with takbir-e-ula. Then my takbir-e-ula is gone. All plastic we are gone. So anyway, Allah says, "Ubudu Rabbakum." Worship your Rabb because He is your. Worship your Rabb because He is your Rabb. He brought you into existence from non-existence. Hal ata ala insan heenu min ad-dahr lam yakun shay'an mazkura. Doesn't that time dawn on a human being? It should dawn, but it doesn't dawn on us. That we at least think that there was that time that I was nothing mentioned also. Not that I wasn't anything. I wasn't a baby. I wasn't a human. There was no mention about me. A person who is 40 years now, today, 41 years ago, there was no parents they didn't talk about him. Nobody spoke. He wasn't born. Who knows? Now as we are sitting, who's been born now, tomorrow, next year, we don't think about who is born. So and so in the family, there's a baby. They kept this name. Now there's some talk about the child. But before that, there was not the parents also spoke. When the mother conceived, Then now some talk started. She said, I think I'm expecting now. And then after that, when it's confirmed, now we hope it's a boy, we hope it's a girl. Now du'as that Allah give us a healthy child, Allah give us a pious. Now some talk of yours has started. But before that, you were nothing even spoken about. Shay'am maskura. So then who brought us into existence? Doesn't that time come? It should come on us. In other words, Allah says, you should be thinking of that time. That one time, not that I wasn't even a speck of dust compared to the sky. The whole earth, what is the earth compared to the sky? And one speck of dust of the earth, what is that compared to the... I was not even that. And who gave me my existence today? And then all that, shukr also we have to make. The ibadat of Allah. We are now, our duty is to make Allah's ibadat. We are doing everything all for our nafs. Just like that maid washes and baths that baby, her baby instead of whose baby she, the boss's baby, the madam's baby she was supposed to wash. We are doing everything for our nafs. And we have to check ourselves, even our ibadat, are we doing it for our nafs? That we want to impress people. I make so much ibadat. I make this ibadat. It is also for our nafs. Even a bayan a person makes, is he making the bayan that people must praise me, that people must acknowledge that I'm doing work of deen, or are we doing it for Allah's pleasure? When whatever we do, if we're doing it for Allah's pleasure, we will find out what does Allah want. When I'm doing my own job, I'll do it how I want to. But when I'm working for somebody else, I have to ask him how you want it done. So when we're working for Allah, we have to think that Allah, how do you want me to do this? And am I doing that or am I doing my own things? How I would like to do it. So anyway, Allah is our Rabb who created us and then who sustains us, nourishes us. Nothing of ours is our own. That one morsel of food I put in my hand, in my mouth, there may be rice, maybe mutton or chicken, maybe some potato, all in one morsel. I've got all that. Some other vegetable, I took some chutney also, some achar also. And all these fingers are not mine also. And the control of the fingers are not mine also. All that also from Allah. And then to pick up my that morsel and put it in my mouth is not me, it's by Allah. To open my mouth. If we got ulcers in the mouth, I can't open my lips properly. I can't get that food in my mouth also. If somebody else has to feed us, we got some disorder of the mouth, something, and just with a spoon, and just little bit, and just liquids we are having. Who is making now that the whole morsel of food? And when we see some of our friends, they don't eat with three fingers, which is sunnah, all five fingers. And they take a whole bit, and how they open, and all that goes in the mouth. And then to chew it, you think they'll take now an hour to chew it. But before, when you look around, the next morsel is gone in already. And call, who is this? And then to in the mouth, who is it that makes us to chew it? And then if there wasn't saliva in the mouth, if we didn't have our teeth, as those people who have got false teeth, if they haven't got their false teeth, they can't eat. You have to have your false teeth. How many things there are? And then who is it that makes it go down the throat? If it just sometimes the food goes in the wrong pipe, water goes in the wrong pipe, one grain of rice goes in the wrong pipe, and you just start bringing it up again. And you feel uneasy and you make everyone around you uneasy also. Who is, and not, how much are we eating? Not one morsel a week or a day. How much in one meal, how many morsels? This is Rabbul Alameen. And we don't think, Rabbi Kareem, how kind is not Allah Ta'ala. When He has done all this, and He's looking after us, really, if we go and see, not 24 hours, if you multiply 24 by 2 million in one day, in every hour, how much Allah is looking after your eyes, your brains, your body, your environment, everything Allah is looking after. How much isn't Allah? And what He asked us for ibadat, if you can calculate it, roughly 10%, 2.5 hours a day. is the ibadat Allah is asking us. And He is giving us not 2.5 hours, not 24 hours of service from Allah's side, but unlimited Allah Ta'ala is giving us. So it's only logical we should have been thoroughly in. And a person who has got little bit idea of what tasawwuf and what khanqah is and what islah and nafs and ma'rifat of Allah, he'll devote himself to ibadah. And at the end he'll say, ma abadnaka haqqa ibadati. Oh Allah, I couldn't make your ibadat as it was supposed to be. Ma'arafnaka haqqa ma'arifati. Oh Allah, I couldn't recognize you. Not that he thinks now I'm the biggest buzurg in the world, and I'm the biggest wali and the biggest abid in the world. That's right out of the question. So, u'budu rabbakum. And this is all, this little explanation is not even the tip of the iceberg. A person doesn't devote himself to it. And when a person comes to taste a little bit of it, he'll realize a lifespan is not enough. 80 years, 100 years of life is not enough. And he made dua, Ya Allah, keep this door open for me in my qabr. Akhirah, Jannat also. I must gain more and more your ma'rifat. The enjoyment that I gain in your ma'rifat, the enjoyment I gain in being in relationship with you, Ya Allah, there is nothing that can compare with that. Those are the people who have found Allah. And they, Allah is unlimited. And your finding of Allah is also unlimited. So anyway, let us carry on. U'budu rabbakum. Now Allah spells it out a little bit. In there, everything is in there already. Like the healing. What is the healing? Whatever. Now the whole subject. Alladhi khalaqakum. He is the one who has created you. Now here, there was Rabb. Rabb is comprises of even creation and sustenance, everything. And we are going to return to Allah again. So, Alladhi khalaqakum, who has created you. And not only you, walladhina min qablikum. You are not created, you are not me, you are not from monkeys. You haven't come in existence by some big bang theory. Alladhi khalaqakum. Allah is the one who created you. And walladhina min qablikum. Don't think your parents have given you your eyes. And they give you your brains. Even if my parents are cardiologists, their own heart is not in their control. So they can't make a heart is out of the control. And any deficiency and problem in the heart, they can't sort it out themselves also. They have to go to another cardiologist. And a cardiologist, who they go to, his heart is not in his control. Everything is in the hands of Allah Ta'ala. So, so Allah is the one who has created you and created those before you also. Allah is the one who has done everything. How great is Allah? How great is the rububiyat of Allah? And Allahu Akbar, Allah's rububiyat. Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq. Read in the name of your Rabb. Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq. خلق الإنسان من علق. There is rububiyat of Allah. And خلق الإنسان من علق. علق, that semen, impure sperm, one small drop of sperm, one part of a drop of a sperm is enough to make that whole insan, to make his brains and everything. Where is Rabb and where is the semen? What did who is Allah that from that drop of semen, what he makes of that insan? And if that insan, his tarbiyat, his ta'aleem is done correct, he becomes a great man. Who made it? Who is Rabb? So how great is not Allah? Alladhi khalaqakum, walladhina min qablikum. And what is the purpose of all this exercise? La'allakum tattaqoon. So that you acquire taqwa. According to Arabic language, la'al. The word la'al, perhaps. That perhaps you become muttaqi. But Allah's la'al is definitely. If you will make Allah's ibadat as you are supposed to be, then you will definitely become a muttaqi. You will give up gunas. You won't be making namaz and watching porn. You won't be making namaz and having extramarital affairs, humanizing, etc. You won't be making namaz and doing other haram things. If that is happening, there is a deficiency in your namaz. Your namaz is not, your ibadat is not correct. The result of ibadat has to be that you become 100% muttaqi. Taqwa will come in your life. If taqwa is not coming in my life, if I'm still on addiction, if I'm still on other things, that means my ibadat, fix up your ibadat. Maulana Muhammad Umar Sahib Rahmatullah Ali should give this example. You are driving on the freeway, your car gets stuck. So when you are standing on the side, other cars are all zooming past. They're all going. So you can't say that cars are useless. Yeah, I'm stuck. My car doesn't want to move. All are moving. They're not useless. Your car, you got a problem. If you're not getting taqwa in your ibadah, it's not that there isn't taqwa in ibadah. My ibadah is faulty. I have to check my ibadah. Am I doing it properly or not? Is my wuzu, is my istinja correct? Are my clothes bath? Are my clothes halal? Have I bought them with halal money? If you have got one garment on you, which is from haram source, your namaz, everything, your tahajjud of the night, and your ibadat of Ramzan, is all down the drain. Is that correct or not? Is my istinja correct or not? Or am I stealing electricity from the municipality? Am I stealing water? Am I making some karbar and stealing water, stealing electricity? And then all what I, so I have to see where something is wrong somewhere. My car is not moving. There isn't petrol coming to the carburetor. There is somewhere a blockage. Or there is a leakage in the fuel pipe. The petrol is going outside. There is a leakage or there is a blockage, not allowing the petrol to come. So my ibadat I'm making, but where is the problem? So I have to see, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, so that taqwa comes to us. Then Allah explains it even more further. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ الَّذِي جَعَلَ لَكُمُ الْأَرْضَ فِرَاشًا. Look at the qudrat of Allah. And this is only the starting of the Quran. And the whole Quran, what treasures Allah has kept. But we don't take those treasures. Small, filthy, dirty things, sports, entertainment, those are big things for us. And the real treasures, and this is an azab of Allah, when the real enjoyable things have no appeal to us. And filth and dirt, that is, there is biryani on the table, in the dining room, on the dasturkhan, roast, biryani, and you enjoy the filth in the toilet. There's something very wrong with that person. He's gone to the toilet and he's drinking water from the toilet pan. And all that filth and dirt he's eating. This is actually what we are doing. The dunya's thing, the things of the kuffar. Today everyone is enjoying the things of the kuffar. Their house, that style of their houses. Their holidays. Their way of dressing. That is what we enjoy. And the beautiful sunnahs of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is like undesirable. We can't take it. We don't get enjoyment. It is just like, instead of all the biryani on the table there, we are enjoying the filth and dirt. So, الَّذِي جَعَلَ لَكُمُ الْأَرْضَ فِرَاشًا. See how Allah has spread out the earth for you. And how Allah has spread out. Bishr Hafi, rahmatullah alayhi, great buzur. He's called Hafi, like the malaikas, حَافِينَ حَوْلَ الْأَرْشِ. They're making tawaf of the arsh of Allah without shoes. They are making. So he also Hafi. He shouldn't wear shoes. And he should say when the earth, Allah, he said that Allah has made the earth firasha. Allah has spread out and Allah has put a carpet on the earth. How can I walk with shoes on the carpet? So he shouldn't walk. Allah honored him in return that wherever he walked, no stones, pebbles, thorns, they should be removed. Dirt should be removed. Wherever he walked, Allah rewarded him. He walked her whole life without shoes. So anyway, so Allah has made this earth like a carpet for us. And how Allah has spread out the earth. And you see the earth, Allah has made it. And this also, from the Quran, there is no end to the beauty and the qudrat of Allah Ta'ala. This earth, Allah has made it from one point of view, so soft that a little child with its nail, not a spade, not a fork that you dig into, not an axe that you hit. With your nail you can scratch the ground. And you can make a little hole where you can plant your little some seed in there. With your nail you can do that. Of course, when you do it on a big commercial business, whole land, you'll use a tractor or whatever. But a little bit you can even, so soft Allah has made. And the same ground Allah has made so strong that a 10-story building will rest on that ground. On the one side, that same ground is so soft. On the other side, the same ground is so powerful. Big, big trucks with all their weight, containers on the truck, they also the ground supports them. And they go through how Allah has made this earth. And then the earth, pieces all, neighbors of one another. One piece of ground, perfect for banana plantation. So don't go and look for gold there. You're not going to find gold. That ground Allah has made it. Perfect for mealy plantation, banana plantation. And next to it is a neighbor. Joined to it is a ground where there is gold, where there are diamonds. Don't go and plant banana where you can dig and get diamonds from there. And you can get gold. How Allah has made this earth. And all the elements and the powerful things Allah has put in the earth. Farmers supplement it with some fertilizer. But there are those pieces of ground. Every ground and agriculture is done correctly. You don't need fertilizer. Allah's system is, give this piece of ground its rest. Develop another ground. Let this ground again develop its thing. And then you plant there again. And without fertilizer, it will grow its thing. But don't continuously from the same ground. And then you have to add all this artificial and all this funny time of farming now that is done. You don't need. So anyway, the ground also is unlimited, the quality. الَّذِي جَعَلَ لَكُمُ الْأَرْضَ فِرَاشًا وَالسَّمَاءَ بِنَاءً. And Allah has made the sky a ceiling and a roof for you. Like here we are sitting in the masjid. If we were sitting outside, even now, today is not a cold day, but we should have felt a bit chilly. Now that we are in the masjid, this roof is covering that cold from coming in. And if it has to rain, we don't worry, we are comfortable. It has to hail, we are comfortable. The sky Allah has put, only Allah knows what is beyond the sky. Had the sky not been there, we should have never been able to exist also. Allah has put that protection. وَالسَّمَاءَ بِنَاءً وَأَنزَلَ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مَاءً. And then Allah is the one who sends down the rain from the sky, who sends down water from the sky. That water, colorless. That water, odorless. And that water, tasteless. And it falls on dead ground. We are now in the season of spring. So winter is just gone. Ground became dead. It became, the grass burned. It was black. It turned gray. No life you could see in the ground. But one rainfall, and you see things becoming green now. What has made that? That one rainfall, that water which is tasteless, which is odorless, and which is colorless, falls on ground that is dead, on that ground that we spit on. We jump on it. When we are angry, we stamp our feet on that ground. We spit on that ground. From that ground, فَأَخْرَجَ بِهِ مِنَ الثَّمَرَاتِ رِزْقًا لَكُمْ. Allah takes us from there, not thamar, thamarat, fruit. What? Not only one kind of fruit. Bananas alone, 800 varieties there are in the world. Mangoes alone, over 1,500 varieties in the world. What fruit Allah takes out from there? From that water that has got no taste, no color, no smell. And Allah takes out that mango. What taste? And from where? From the dead ground. Who does this? فَانْزَلَ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مَاءً فَأَخْرَجَ بِهِ مِنَ الثَّمَرَاتِ رِزْقًا لَكُمْ. And in another place Allah Ta'ala says, مَتَاعًا لَكُمْ وَلِأَنْعَامِكُمْ. We take out your food also, and the food of your animals also, we take it out. It's not that you are giving your animals, we giving the food for the animals also. Now our Ustad, Hazrat Mana Fakhrul Hassan Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, our Bedawi Sharif Ustad, at this juncture, he gave us an example of an orange. Unlimited fruits of Allah Ta'ala. Just take one orange and unlimited species of oranges also. How Allah made that orange? The orange, Allah did the packing also. To preserve it, that the orange peel. The color of it is orange, like yellowish orange. There, under it is that white skin. And in there then is all the slices of the oranges. There may be 10, 15, 8, all that slices, chiri, all the separate ones. Each one is a one of its own. And it's got a covering of its own also. And in there are hundreds of small soluble little tubes which have got the juice. That's the actual thing. For my banda to get the fresh, good, rosy of mine, I do the pecking, I put the orange peel, it must be protected. I put a white peel under that also. Then I put each jiri what it's covering also. And in there I put that soluble tubes and you put in your mouth, mashallah, what sweet oranges. Mashallah, how wonderful. And then, if it's the original farming, everyone has got a pot also. And one pot is enough to grow a tree. And one tree is enough to give hundreds of oranges every year. That is the system of Allah. What is the qudrat of Allah? Then think of the banana. 800. When you peel a banana, think, who made this, the peel of it? And who protected, how Allah did the pecking of it? And then on the banana, you get that small strings on the sides. And they also have got a definite purpose, all of them. And then who put the potassium in banana? Who put all the vitamin C in the orange? And not only vitamin C and potassium, what things Allah has put? Allahu Akbar. Hakim Yusuf, Rahmatullahi of Hackworth, explained one time. He says that the South African oranges are famous, outspan oranges. They go overseas also, to UK also. When they are exported, they are 15% ripe, 85% still raw. In the process, as they reach there, then they become ripe. When now they're ready for the market. But what has happened in between? Now, when they reach there and they're ready for the market, they are 100% ripe now. Now there is more sugar in there, less orange. He says a fruit you should eat if you want to eat for the benefit of the fruit. When it is raw, you can't eat it. When it is just edible, that's the time to eat a fruit. We enjoy fruit when it is properly ripe and it is sweet. Then you're having sugar, not having the fruit. Whether it's banana, whether it's oranges, whether it's any fruit. When it's properly ripe, now it has all turned into sugar. Now you're having more sugar and you're having less of the fruit. When you eat it at that time, when it is just edible now, then you're having fruit. For what? Every fruit. Take your, live your life and eat your food and your fruit particularly as your medicine. You won't have to have medicine in your life. And if you don't do that, you will be deprived of food and you'll live on medicine afterwards. Your food will be medicine afterwards. But if you eat and meat also, we like it to be done thoroughly. When all the vitamins and all the things of the meat is gone out. We don't want to chew today. We are too lazy to chew also. And when you chew, and especially if you have like a farm chicken, or you have a game, then you see that meat is stuck. It's not tender. And this stunned birds and that chicken, which is a commercial, it just melts in your mouth. There is no value at all for you. So Allah Tabaruk Ta'ala has made all, every fruit, how Allah Ta'ala has made it. Alladhi, with that water which was colorless, where the color came in the orange? Where the taste came in the orange from? And where the smell of the orange, you can smell. You come in a room, oh, today there are guavas. There's a pineapple. And if Hakim Yusuf Rahmatullahi used to say, that if you're feeling like a bit down and depressed, keep some guavas and pineapples in the house. That smell will lift you up. That smell of it is such that it gives you a boost in your life. Who put all that? The dead ground, the tasteless water, colorless water, none other than Rabbukum, your Rabb who has done all that. فَأَخْرَجَ بِهِ مِنَ الثَّمَرَاتِ رِزْقًا لَكُمْ. When you know even just a little bit of this, فَلَا تَجْعَلُوا لِلَّهِ أَنْدَادًا. Don't associate partners to Allah Ta'ala. Don't say, the food does it. When you're sitting to eat, your first etiquette is aqidah. Correct your belief. have the belief, my this food can't do anything, Allah's hukam only. Second is your niyat. I'm eating to gain strength, not to go and commit guna, not to go and do all other evil. I'm eating in order to make the ibadat of Allah. I'm eating some food, some nuts, etc., to strengthen my brain so that I can concentrate in my zikr. I can concentrate in my ibadat. I have to write a book, I have to write some kitabs, so that I can concentrate and I can do it properly. For that reason I'm eating this year. And then follow the adab also. Otherwise we will be eating outwardly like Muslims, but like mushriks whole life. Our eating will be like mushrik. We will believe that the food is giving me my strength. And that is what a mushrik is. We will be believing my sleep refreshes me. And it's only Allah Ta'ala. The sleep, Allah has made it. The asbab is there. And Allah works the system of the world by asbab. But the qudrat of Allah is above his asbab. And we believe that Allah alone is the doer. Nothing in this world can do. فَلَا تَجْعَلُوا لِلَّهِ أَنْدَادًا. Don't associate any partners to Allah. وَأَنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. And you, the readers of the Quran, are those who know. And how can you associate partners? If the idol worshippers are worshipping the idol, they don't know. لَا يَعْلَمُونَ ظَاهِرًا مِنَ الْأَرْضِ. They only know about the outward things of this dunya and of reality, of this system and the working of Allah. They don't know a bit of that. You are supposed to be the mu'mineen. You are supposed to teach them and guide them. But unfortunately, we follow them. We have to be those who guide them. Then briefly in the other ayat, Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala says that وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنْسِ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. I have not created jinn and man but for one purpose, for my ibadat. Now let us think, each one of us, how much am I doing? Allah has created us solely for his ibadat. He didn't create us for anything else. How much ibadat of Allah am I doing? You can find out that by comparing it. Allah says, أَقِيمِ الصَّلَاةَ لِذِكْرِ. Perfect your namaz, not only make namaz. Perfect your namaz, and that also solely for my remembrance. Our whole namaz is for remembrance of everything besides Allah. We don't remember Allah at all in our namaz. Our whole life we spend, we don't make the ibadat of Allah. And the ibadat of Allah, Mufassirin say, yeah, at this point, ay illa liya'rifun, to recognize. Ibadat is supposed to take us to the ma'rifat of Allah. If we are doing our ibadat, taqwa will come into our lives. Ma'rifat of Allah will come. And then a person will, if our ibadat is not giving us enjoyment, 5 years ago what my ibadat was, it's still the same, or it's gone left. There's something wrong in my ibadat. Ibadat was now that I should have come, I should have been enjoying my ibadat. And so much, like for example, a girl was going to give birth. The first time she was going to give birth, she told her mother or mother-in-law that when I'm giving birth, then please wake me up. Maybe at night when I'm sleeping, I'll give birth and I'll take a turn in my sleep and I'll crush my baby. So you must wake me up when I give birth. So the mother-in-law said, my dear, when you give birth, I won't have to wake you up. You will wake up the whole house. When the pain start coming, then you will scream and shout, you'll wake up everything. So when a person has the deen of Allah, you don't have to tell him, tell other people. He won't be able to tell him, keep quiet. He can't keep quiet. But today, even the ulama, we keep quiet about the truth. We don't speak about the truth. If that truth is in our lives, and the enjoyment of deen, we can't keep quiet. We have to tell other people. You can't keep quiet about it. That will be the condition. If our ibadat is right, we'll gain the ma'rifat. And as our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali say, design ko mat dekho, designer ko dekho. Don't look at the different designs of all the women. Look at the designer. That one designer who has made so many designs. You are amazed by this woman, her walking style. That one, how she uses her hand. That one, how she talks. Who, the one who made all of them, what is he like? Keep your eyes on him. So if we have ibadat correctly, our connection will do ibadat of Allah. Ibadat is supposed to bring abdiyat in a person, humility. If our ibadat is bringing pride in me, I'm a very pious person, I make so much ibadat, and others are nothing, or that I'm a good person, if ibadat didn't bring that into me, that I'm the worst of the worst, then there's something, I haven't been making ibadat. I've been thinking I'm making ibadat, I was doing something else. Ibadat is supposed to bring humility in a person. Ibadat is supposed to bring thankfulness. Ya Allah, you giving me this trophy. Where me? I'm not fit for it in the least, but you giving me this topic of getting up for Fajr. You giving a person, if he gets up for Tahajjud, he's making Ishraq or Chashd or Tawwabin. Allah, me? Where am I? You are giving me the marifat, thankfulness to Allah. Humility will come in that person. If pride is coming in us because of our ibadat, it's some shaitan's ibadat we are doing. We're not doing Allah's ibadat. We are on the wrong road. We have to see that humility comes to us. Ibadat is supposed to bring itaat into us. That five times a day, we come and renew our pledge to Allah. Ya Allah, I surrender myself. My whole life, not only my namaz, my whole life I will live according to your command. Our 24 hours, our business dealings will be. My relationship with my wife will be how Allah wants it to be. My relationship with my neighbors, with the animals, the pets, a pet that we have kept, we will keep in mind the laws of Allah. And if it's a stray animal, a stray cat that has come, Allah has even given us directions for that. Everything we will keep Allah's command. So itaat, my business dealings, my akhlaq, my character. How many of us, outwardly our piety in our ibadat, but akhlaq is rotten, rotten, rotten. So our akhlaq, and the way the akhlaq is tested, the main place it's tested is with the wife. There our akhlaq is there. How we do we treat our wives? Do we treat her not like a maid in the house, or not even worse than a slave woman also? How we treat her? We think that we own her. Just because we married her, we gave her meher, and now she's in our house like a prisoner, and we can treat her as we want to. If ibadat is right, all these things, our five branches of our deen will come right. If ibadat comes, so ibadat is a very great thing, but it has to be done as is required by Allah Ta'ala. And for that, the very starting point of our ibadat, we will be giving bayans of big, big things. And we talk of big, big things, but our basics are still, we are lost basically. And that is the case of we who think we are pious, or people who think that we are pious, or we would like to think ourselves as being pious. That's our condition. Then what will be the case of the rest of the ummah? And we have to think also at the same time that that person who is like a drug addict, a person who is, he's just got a habit of stealing, and he steals, and he's, everyone knows and despises him. When he will come to the righteous, to the ulama, to the pious, he always, they will say, we are bad guys, man. You people are the pious people. You are the good people. We are rotten. So consider that. And those who think we are pious, and we are presented in the court of Allah, those who thought that they are pious and they are good, who stands a better chance of forgiveness and salvation? That person who thinks I'm bad, I'm useless, I'm low, or the person who thinks I'm good, who stands a better chance? It must not happen that we think we are gone. We jannatis, guaranteed jannatis. But when the crunch of the matter will come, then we might see a different story there. So Allah give us, this is what we have to think of ourselves. Life is short. This is what is tasawwuf. This is what is ihsan. This is what is Islam. And without that, everyone is a write-off. Nobody can ever make it. Allah made us. وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ Allah has stressed it everywhere. Until a person is not actively engaged in tazkiyah, and he doesn't make his zikr properly, and his tilawat properly, his tazkiyah cannot happen. Just coming to the majalis is a great step in the right direction, but it is far from being enough. That consciousness come into us, and these qualities come into us. This is still the starting point only of the ibadat. And then still how the whole road, the whole house we have to traverse, the whole journey we still have to go, and we are still not even started the journey. It's like a little child sitting in the driver's seat. He hasn't got a key, but he's imagining now he's turning here, he's reversing there, he's doing this, he's stopping here, but he's just where he is. He's kahan gaye, kahin nahi. Kya kya, kuch nahi. That must not be our case that we did nothing. May Allah give us tawfiq. And for that, let us apply ourselves. Life is short. Every day we're hearing of janaza. It could have been my janaza. Yesterday, today, last week. And I didn't prepare stuff. Kafan bardosh ho gaye, lekin abhi marna nahi seekha. Already my kafan is put on for me, but I still haven't learned how to die also. What will be my... So let us come to our senses and prepare for that real life, the life of the Akhirah, which we are so unmindful of. We don't think, we don't make the benchmark Akhirah. That is what we... The criteria of everything must be Akhirah. We make it the dunya. That is the kuffar's way, the animal's way. Their criteria is dunya. Our criteria is never dunya. Our criteria is akhirat, everything. Allah give us tawfiq, inshallah.